Meditation. It's certainly not the end of learning. I hope not. Hopefully this has spurred you on and made you want to learn more. So we are offering a free Bible school where we have two different lesson guides that we'll be offering to you. They can be something that you can do through the mail, something you can do. We can drop them off to you, or we can study them with you personally. Tonight at the end of the presentation, you'll get a card and you'll have an option to check a line for that saying, yes, I'm interested in that. One of the study guides covers the book of Daniel. We hit some of the parts of Daniel, but not all of it. And the other study guides covers what we covered and more. And so it's a great review, and it's a great way to take the knowledge deeper and interact with it even more. Also, we mentioned every Wednesday at 7 p.m., we're going to be having kind of a small group together going through one of my favorite devotional books, or just Christian books. It's called Steps to Christ, and it is powerful. Has anyone read it before? Okay, it is such a good one. Every time I read it, I am blessed and encouraged. Come Wednesday night at 7. If you don't have a book, we'll give you a book. And if you have your own copy, bring your own copy, and we're going to start going through that. We'll spend 20 or 30 minutes on that. We'll do some singing. We'll do some praying together. Just some good time of fellowship and support as Christians, which we all need, especially in the middle of the week. And of course, we'd love for you to fellowship with us. Every Sabbath, every Saturday at 11 o'clock, we have our fellowship. And if you come early, we have what we call Sabbath school, which is a lot like Sunday school, but it happens on Sabbath, so we call it Sabbath school. And that's where we get to study through a whole bunch of really good topics. And there are different classes and different options. I'm going to be starting a new class where we're going to be going through some new curriculum, and so it's a great option. That starts at 9. Different options, but basically the lesson study starts at 9:45 on Saturday mornings. All right, having said all that, why don't we pray as we get into one of my favorite topics. Lord in heaven, we thank you for just your amazing love for us. We're thankful for the friendships that we've formed and the joy we've had studying your word. Now tonight, as we think about heaven, I pray that you will speak to us in very real ways. Inspire us and give us strength. In Jesus' name, amen. By the way, at the end tonight, there will not only be tonight's study guide, but also this morning's study guide. So make sure you get that. So, our topic tonight, which is kind of hard to read and see, what will heaven be like? You know, if you were to do a survey of people just randomly around Modesto, you might get a lot of different answers. Maybe some people say heaven is just a state of mind. It's not really real. It's something that you can achieve on your own, in your own home, in your own mind. Other people, maybe the wealthy, heaven is their home. It's their mansion. Forget about Jesus preparing them a mansion. They have prepared their mansion here. The chariot is their car, and the angels are the kids. Maybe. There are good and bad angels, we got to remember. All right, so other people say heaven... You believe in those fairy tales? That is just a bunch of baloney. And that's where many of our people in our society are today. So what is heaven really like? Well, we have been using the Bible as our guide in these meetings, and hopefully your faith and confidence in the Bible has grown over time as we've shown these prophecies and so forth. So if it disagrees with the Bible, hey, not for me. If it's in the Bible, though, I want to believe it. So we start tonight in Revelation 21, verse 1, and it says there, "Now I saw a what? A new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." Remember, heaven, there are three uses of heaven in the Bible. Heaven is our atmosphere, heaven is also the stars, and heaven is also the place where God lives. But, as we've discussed, heaven, where God lives, is ultimately going to be here on this earth. So we get a new atmosphere, and we get a new earth, and who knows, you know, to what extent God's recreative power will go. Are the craters on the moon because of sin, or just because that's how God designed the universe? I don't know. But we did leave some legs from some of our spacecraft up there, so he's probably going to have to do some cleaning up on the moon as well. But we'll find out more about that. So a new heaven and a new earth. You know, the prophets from Genesis to Revelation have been looking forward to the restoration of all time, when all the sin, sorrow, and suffering will be done away with, totally wiped away, and Eden will be restored, the Garden of Eden back again. Think about what it was like. And we can only imagine, but the description of the Bible and just using our sanctified imagination, it was amazing. You know, the crystal clear water, the wonderful fruits on the trees, the amazing things. You know, I talked with somebody who was about 80 years old, and this was 20 years ago, and she said, you know, when I was a little girl and we would bring home strawberries, a basket of strawberries would just fill the house with this wonderful smell. And she said, now they just aren't so good. They just don't have the same fragrance and flavor that they used to have. Something about the way we're producing them or something like that. So imagine what the fruit was like before sin, before the need for pesticides and herbicides and all these other sides. Just think about that. Think about the animals living together in harmony. No death in the Garden of Eden. No fear of the animals. Adam and Eve could pet anyone they wanted to, could enjoy fellowship. There was love, joy, and companionship in the garden. No suffering. But then, of course, as we discussed, an intruder came in, suggested that Eve would be happier if she just disobeyed God. And that plunged our world into sin, rebellion, marital distress, and so many more things. The drama of sin has carried on throughout the ages. But ever since the beginning, God has had a royal line of faith, people whose hearts have been open to Him and receptive to Him, who looked beyond this world to the world to come. And ever from the beginning, there were people who were looking forward to the restoration of all things. The Bible talks about Abraham, and in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 10, it says, "For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Think about that. Whose builder and maker is God. Abraham recognized there's a heavenly city. There's something better ahead. Moses, back in those days, knew that there was something better. By faith, Moses, Hebrews 11, 24 through 26, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer. Rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Why did he do this? He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than the riches, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the what? The reward. He had it made in the palace. But he said, you know what? There's something better. This is just passing pleasure. It's not going to last. It's tinsel compared to the true gold that God has in store for me. So he looked to the reward. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11, 13, and 14, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, they were assured of them. They saw them in the future, and they held on to them with firm belief. They embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We're just passing through. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. Are you seeking a homeland? Are you seeking a better land? Amen. But now they desire a better, that is, what kind of a country? A heavenly country, longing for something more. Notice what it says in verse 16. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a what?
City.
A city for them. God has prepared a city. You know, you saw this in your discovery time, 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. This is loosely quoting from Isaiah 64, verse 4, I believe. So no matter how well we think about it, no matter how hard we try, there's something better that God has prepared for us. And I have a pretty good imagination. But God has prepared something much better. The deepest joys that we have on earth, they're better in heaven. The greatest pleasure that we have here on planet earth, being with friends, it's going to be much better in heaven. Heaven's fellowship will be closer. And we're not going to have limits on time, right? We get to live forever, so we can get to know people really, really well, right? Really well. The Bible gives us the description of this heavenly city. Revelation 21, verse 2, "Then I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." God has been preparing this city. David and Erica, you know about preparing, right? There's a wedding coming up. It's a week from tomorrow, right? And it's going to be happening here on this campus. So this language just stirs in your heart those feelings of excitement and joy and anticipation and doing special things. God has been, he's had time to do all these things. He made the world quickly, so he's got plenty of time to make this city amazing, truly amazing. John said he saw it descending upon the earth. Revelation 21:14. "Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." Who were the 12 apostles? Well, there was Thomas. He doubted. His name's there on the foundation, right? Peter, he denied Christ. He's on the foundation of the city. John, Andrew, all these, they all had character flaws, right? James and John, the sons of thunder. Fishermen, Matthew the tax collector, people who had been changed by God, but people who were very human and had their own character flaws that God was working on with them. Their names are on the foundation. That gives me hope, right? God can change and transform and work through common people with ordinary problems, and God is reserving a place for anybody who wants a place in heaven. Amen? Common people. God's saying to us, if they can make it, so can we. Notice verse 16, Revelation 21, "The city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as its breadth." It's a square, four sides, facing north, south, east, west. No matter what direction you come from, God wants you to go in. You know, in the ancient world, you wanted to have fewer gates than more gates. Gates were access points to the city. But God, he has three gates on each side. He wants everybody to come on in. North, south, east, west. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, you can make it through those gates. He measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. It's unclear whether that means that the city is a cube or whether the highest point, as in this illustration, is equal. But in any case, if you calculate out 12,000 furlongs, it's about 375 miles on each side. This is a massive city. Some say it's about the size of like the state of New Mexico or something like that. Yeah. Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. I was kind of thinking about that. Good point. So, in any case, the gates are going to be big, right? And they're made of pearls, right? That is a massive oyster. I mean, if anything, that tells you that we are thinking way too limited when we think about heaven. When we think about heaven. Now, some have said, okay, well, let's be realistic. I mean, you got a city this size, and it must weigh a lot. That's going to put Earth's, like when it's rotating, it's going to wobble because of the weight. So they're like, it's impossible. Well, God could put some weight on the other side of the Earth if he needs to counterbalance it. I mean, if God made the universe, he can figure out a little engineering problem. Amen? So I'm not too concerned about that. But however we're conceiving it in our minds, it's going to be way off, right? We'll do our best, but we got to realize we are limited in our understanding. But there are 12 gates, 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl. Boy, that's going to be amazing. Amazing. And the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. God's so wealthy, he just puts gold as pavement. He doesn't worry about it. Transparent gold. This is just amazing. So God shifts the capital of the universe. From wherever it is right now, he shifts it at the end of those 1,000 years. He recreates the world and he puts it on planet Earth. What a high privilege and honor. This is truly amazing. So God destroys the earth by fire. He melts it down so he can recreate it. And we now get to watch God creating something. Human beings have never witnessed God creating anything. Think about it. Adam and Eve were made after all the animals and everything else. And even when Eve was made, Adam was doing what? Sleeping. God was the first anesthesiologist, Joe. Put Adam out, you know, and did his thing. So Adam woke up and there was Eve. They didn't get to see it. They witnessed it by faith. They believed it by faith. Well, now we are going to get to watch him do what he loves to do, make things and make things beautiful. New Testament calls this the blessed hope, this hope and reality of something so much better. The beauty of Eden will be restored. So, some people ask the question, what will our physical condition be in the new earth? What are our bodies going to be like? Will we have spirit bodies? Do we have flesh bodies? Well, we talked already about the resurrection and how we'll have actual flesh bodies. We're not going to be just kind of floating around little wisps of air or anything like that. Philippians 3, 20 and 21, our citizenship is in where? From which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his what? His glorious body. So our bodies will be like the body, in some way, of the resurrected Jesus. What was his body like? Well, he ate food after his resurrection. He probably didn't have to, but he was saying, hey, look, I'm not a ghost. Look at me. I can eat something. He ate food. He had a real body, right? Took a while for the disciples on the road to Emmaus to recognize him. But then when he starts to break the bread, those unique mannerisms or whatever it was, their eyes were opened and they recognized, oh, that's Jesus. That was Jesus. Or then Mary in the garden, the tears clear from her eyes and she hears when he says, Mary, she recognized his voice, the intonation. The other disciples just got it immediately based on his physical form. So whatever form we will have in heaven, it's going to be more like the prime of life, I imagine it, right? But we're going to recognize one another. We're not going to be wandering around heaven forever saying, who are you? Oh, you're my mom. Hi, mom. Yeah. No, we'll be able to figure it out. We'll recognize one another. God will take care of it. Unique mannerisms, voice intonations, individual personalities. You know, God's not going to give us different, completely different personalities and characters and all these things in heaven. We're going to be the people who we are here, except, praise God, he's saving us and we're giving our hearts to him, so it's not going to be like the bad character traits, you know. By God's grace, he's working on burning those out of us right now and eliminating those. But the good parts of our personality and character are what we're going to have in heaven. So if you have a good sense of humor here, you'll probably have a good sense of humor up there. And our humor will probably be a lot different up there. Notice Isaiah 33, verse 24. And the inhabitant will not say, I am sick. Not going to say, I'm sick. Sorry, doctors, you're going to need to find a new profession in heaven. But you're going to get to learn so much about the body and things that we can only guess about and speculate about now. No one will say, I'm sick. The people who dwell in it will be forgiven their iniquity. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. If you make hearing aids now, I'm sorry, your profession will no longer be needed in heaven, but God will give you something else to enjoy. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb, the person who can't speak, will sing. Won't that be awesome? That will be so amazing. Wheelchairs gone, crutches gone, leg braces and pain pills and all those things gone. We will have new and glorious bodies, joy and happiness everywhere. And this is one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible, Revelation 21, verse 4. And God will wipe away how many tears? Every tear, all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. This is just good. Death, sorrow, crying, pain, gone forevermore. So enjoy pain while you can, because it's not going to be in heaven, right? When you have pain here, it can just be a reminder that heaven won't be like this. Revelation 22:1, then he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and from the Lamb. Water of life, crystal clear. Verse 2, in the middle of its street and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Healing of the nations. You know, God is going to heal our bodies, but he's also going to heal any scars, anything that's in our life, mentally, physically, emotionally, all healed. Totally healed. We'll be loved by God, cherished by God, embraced by God, and satisfied by God. Every need will be met. So Isaiah 40, verse 31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and faint not. In heaven, we're not going to get tired like we get tired here. We're going to be able to have the energy of youth. Energy that will help us to just enjoy God's wonderful and marvelous creation. Isaiah 11, verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as water covers the sea. No more hurting, no more destroying. Everybody will know about God. No more war, no more conflict, no more threats of terror, no more worries about nuclear weaponry. God will make all things new. Friends, heaven is a real place. It's not sitting on clouds as the cartoons depict it. While Revelation does describe harps, it's not, the primary emphasis of heaven is not playing a harp, sitting on a cloud. St. Peter is not standing at the gates of heaven there to welcome. Peter is in the grave waiting for his chance to go at the resurrection. We get to go together. Look at this, Isaiah 65, 17. For behold, I create new heavens and new earth. The former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. You know, God is going to give us some sort of amnesia where the pain and the sorrow and the suffering of this world will be forgotten. And there are a lot of things that we want to forget. Amen? This is a good thing. Isaiah 65, 21, 22, they shall build houses and inhabit them, plant vineyards and eat their fruit. Any of you like building or like decorating or those type of things, gardening? So in heaven, you have unlimited resources, unlimited helpers. You have forever, so well, I'll give you 1,000 years to help you build your house. Why not, right? You get the best architects. And the angels, if you ask them, I'm sure they'll help out too. So imagine this. You get a home in the city, you get a home in the country, and you can do your gardening work and don't have to worry about all the animals that come and destroy your gardens, the deer that come eat your gardens for those that live out in the country, or the bugs that wrecked our bell peppers this summer. You know, it's not gonna be an issue. because God has it all figured out. They shall not build and another inhabit. You're not going to be kicked out of your home because you can't pay the bills. No bills. Amen? No bills. They shall not plant and another eat. In other words, you plant it, do all the hard work, and then someone comes and steals it from you. It's not going to happen. For as the days of the tree, so shall the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. We're going to enjoy working on things just for fun. It's like hobbies, things that you enjoy doing, but you don't have enough time to do. In heaven, you're going to have enough time to do these things, practical, tangible things. What about fellowship and friends? Boy, heaven would be boring if you were the only one there. Matthew 8:11, I say to you that many will come from the east and from the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. You like stories? Well, we get to hear the stories directly from the mouths of the people who experienced it. Now, how this works with some of this amnesia that God's going to give us, I haven't fully figured that part out. But God will make it all clear when we get there. So, not too worried about it. But you imagine, you know, one day you're in your garden and you see this really tall guy walking by and you say, wait, are you Adam? And he says, yes, I'm Adam. Then you get to sit down and talk to Adam, and maybe he's admiring the things in your garden, and you give him an ear of corn that's big enough to feed his whole family, because things will probably grow really good there. Or maybe you're going along, and then you see Moses, and you get to hear the stories. You get to hear what it was like, or perhaps you talk to Daniel. What was it like in that den of lions? He'll tell you about how God delivered him. Shut the mouths of those big cats. Got to talk to the great people that we've read about and wondered about all these years. But most of all, we'll get to see Jesus. We'll get to talk to him face to face. Maybe, you know, during the Sabbath services, because we'll be having Sabbath worship services, the Bible tells us. Maybe Jesus will get up and he'll tell the story about how he gave everything for us. And he'll talk about how difficult it was to go through with the cross, but he'll say, I was thinking about you. And that's what kept me going. That's what kept me going when life was tough. There it is, Isaiah 66:22-23. From one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come worship before me, says the Lord. Week by week, we'll get to come back together again, update one another on how things are going on the house, how's the exploring of the galaxy going. I don't know. It's just a lot. And we'll get to worship together. Imagine the sound of the heavenly choir. Of all the redeemed who've ever been redeemed, singing together those heavenly songs. Imagine one day after worship service, you're sitting there just enjoying the beauty of things, and then Jesus comes up to you directly and says, I want to go on a walk with you. And the two of you, just by yourselves, start walking down the road. You can smell the wonderful flowers. You can see all the amazing things. And Jesus, He stoops down and he picks up some grain. And he says, hey, taste this. Taste this. I want you to try this. And you try it and he says, hey, I made this flavor just for you. I know what your taste buds are like and I made this just for you. And then you come to some flowers and he says, hey, I designed these flowers specifically with you in mind. I knew your favorite colors. I knew your favorite scents. And he picks it and he gives it to you and you smell it. And it's the most wonderful smell you've ever smelled. I mean, this is reality that someday we'll get to walk down the heavenly streets with Jesus. And I don't know what it's going to be like exactly. But I can imagine in my mind's eye, Jesus talking to you and saying, you know what? I am so glad you picked me. Because you're the only one in the universe that's just like you. If you didn't want to be here, decided not to be here, I could never replace you. And I'm so glad you're here. I would miss you forever if you weren't here. Friends, heaven is going to be so wonderful, and the best thing about it is spending time directly with Jesus, with our God. Revelation 21:3, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." No more separation. God will be with us. Notice this next verse. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. No more praying and imagining what God looks like. We'll get to talk with him, pray directly to him, and we'll see exactly the love and tender compassion on the face of our God. Friends, are you looking forward to that day? This world just doesn't hold much. It really holds nothing. It's pale in comparison to the glories that the Bible speaks about. It's where I want to be. It's where I want to be for the rest of my eternity. I want to be there with you, with Jesus, and with all the redeemed. You know, tonight as we close out our seminar, I just want to give you another opportunity to respond to whatever Jesus has been saying to you through this time. So there should be a card probably face down on your table, or your table host can help get it. Make sure everybody has one. If a table doesn't have one, we'll make sure that you get one so that everybody can have a card. And there's some simple options on these cards. And if you didn't get a card, you can just raise your hand and we'll make sure that they're spread around so that everybody has one tonight. But it's always good when we're convicted on something to follow through. When we feel the Spirit of God speaking to us, to move forward in whatever he's speaking to our hearts about. So tonight, number one, if you say, "Yes, I love Jesus and I look forward to being with him in heaven." If that's your desire tonight, mark that first one. You want to be in this heaven. Mark that first one. Number two, if you're interested in the Bible study course, the continuation, either through the book of Daniel or what we've covered, except more, mark that second one. We'll give you a call and we'll figure out the best way, whatever your preferences are, and we'll follow up with you on that. Maybe some of you have been thinking about baptism or rebaptism. You've been experiencing the joy of God in your life and you want to commit yourself to God in a public manner. Or maybe you're not sure, but you want to talk to somebody about that. You can mark that also and just say, "I have some questions about baptism," or whatever the case might be. We would love to help you begin preparing on that road towards baptism. Tonight, maybe you say, "You know what? I have seen such wonderful truth here, and I would love to become a member of this church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Not just this local church, but the broad community of 20-some million people around the world." We would welcome you with open arms. Number five, if you have some more questions you want to discuss, maybe tonight's presentation or something else you've heard in our seminar has stirred up some questions, some unanswered questions, some lingering questions. I am not afraid of questions. I may not have a good answer, but I would love to dialogue with you and see if we could come up with some answers together. So even if it's not on a topic that is related to this, as long as it's not on string theory or quantum physics or something like that, if it's Bible-related, faith-related, I would love to talk with you and try and connect you to something that might help give you some answers. It's worth looking into any question that you might have. Of course, please put your name and your number, the best way to reach you, so we can help follow up with you and rejoice with you in whatever decision God has laid upon your heart tonight and through this seminar. So before we close out for this evening, I just want to, first of all, say I am just so blessed to have gone on this journey with you over the last few weeks. And I hope that you continue to hang out with us. We don't like to just make friends and then not be with our friends more. So we hope you continue to hang out. I hope you come on Wednesday night at 7 for our continued fellowship, and show up on Saturdays for our Sabbath services. Or drop by during the week. See me in my office. If you have questions, I can make an appointment with you. I can come to your house. You can come to my office. I would love to hang out more with you. But thank you so much for being here. Before we pray, I just want to say thank you to all the volunteers. We've had Norman, who's been running the sound, and not just the sound, he has basically set up and taken this thing down pretty much every day, mostly by himself. And we are so grateful, and he's been duplicating the CDs and all of that, and of course our wonderful ladies who've been cooking and all of that. Our greeters, our registration, our table hosts, just everything. Thank you so much, and thank you for being here. I mean, seminars don't happen if people don't come. And so I have been blessed. I have learned through this process, and we are just grateful and excited for the new friendships and the new things that we've learned. So let's go ahead and bow our heads and just ask God to seal whatever decision we've made tonight. And if you're still writing or still thinking, that's okay. When you're done, you can just place it upside down in the basket. We'll pick them up after the end here. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just grateful to you. You love us. You have a good plan for this world. Our world's been marred with sin. It has all sorts of suffering in it. But Lord, you have a good plan for how you're going to fix things. And in the meantime, Lord, you want us to be a part of helping relieve that suffering. And so I pray that we can be just your servants to go to our world and to provide a tangible hug, tangible love, tangible support for people in need. And Lord, I pray that each one of us will be in your heavenly kingdom when you return someday soon, Father. We don't know when, but it sure seems like it'll be soon. So Lord, I pray that we'll just continue to grow in you and love you and serve you and follow you. Continue to lead us and guide us as you have in the past. And this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Let everybody say, amen. God bless you. Don't forget your study guides and everything else, and put your cards just in the basket, and we will be seeing you very soon. Hopefully Wednesday night.